Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Welcome to Birth Stories with me, Clemmie Hooper, created by Offscript.
We got married and then I was like, I'm just going to stop taking the pill. And then it happened that next month. And it was like, oh, right, we didn't think it was going to go that quickly. I tell you what had happened. I'd been away with my friends and we were in Cornwall. And one of my friends was leading this massive long walk. And I had to keep stopping and I was dry retching. And I thought it was because I was hungover because we had had a big night the night before, which is terrible. And they were all like, Shell, you're so unfit. This is terrible. Shell, what's wrong with you? And that was it. Got home, did the test. It was not a hangover. I didn't mind being pregnant with Finn. I was sick at the start, but it was like manageable sick. That's how I would describe it. Definitely in that second trimester, I felt amazing. Third trimester, less so. I was definitely more whale-like. But it was a time that I did enjoy, I suppose also because of the excitement. Like, you know, you've got a little person and it's everything's new. So yeah, I did enjoy the pregnancy. I definitely didn't love it, but I did enjoy it.
Hello, I'm Clemmie Hooper and welcome to Birth Stories, a podcast where I talk to amazing women about the fascinating and unique ways they had their babies. Just a quick note, we'll be talking about childbirth in a lot of detail, so you may not want to listen to this podcast around young children. Today's guest is Michelle Kennedy, founder and CEO of Peanut, a social networking app for mothers. She came up with the idea when she was on maternity leave with her first child in 2014. So I've known you, Michelle, for a couple of years. We first met at a networking dinner when you were just about to launch Peanut.
We had a great night that night.
That was great.
That was fun.
So thank you for coming along.
Thanks
for
having me.
Begging you for ages to come and tell me the birth story of Finley.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really, really honoured that you're here. So Finley's your first baby. He's not a baby anymore, is he?
He's five.
Wow.
I know.
So during your pregnancy, did you do like antenatal classes? How did you kind of learn about birth or what kind of birth you liked? What was your kind of...
So I was definitely someone who was in denial about the birth part for a long time. So yeah. I just thought about stuff. I had an Excel spreadsheet. I am that person.
Did you?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I had an Excel spreadsheet and a budget and kind of was doing that kind of stuff. And firstly, it was to do with decorating the nursery and then it was to do with getting all the stuff and I was researching. And that's what I was thinking about. And I hadn't really thought about the birth part. And I suppose it's why I didn't think about the kind of emotional part either, because I was just very much about, it was like a project.
Yeah.
So I was doing like the methodology of a project. And then it was getting closer and one of my friends said to me, you should do NCT. And I was like, do you know, I just feel like it's not going to be my vibe. And she was like, you have to do it. All the girls that I know who have done it have made their like lifelong friends. So I did sign up for NCT and I did do NCT. I did not make my lifelong friends, as you've probably guessed. It works amazingly for some people. Mm. I was just unfortunate. It wasn't my bag. Like the group that I was in was quite transient. So a lot of them didn't stay in the area. So it just didn't work out for us. But that's kind of how I learnt the basics, I suppose.
Okay. So it was informative, but it wasn't a friendship building.
It definitely wasn't. Yeah. On the friendship side, no. On the information side, I definitely learnt stuff that I didn't know. Mm. You know, like about the size of the tummy, the stomach, you know, and
when
how much
feeding.
You can feed.
That's really good.
Didn't know any of that stuff. How to use a baby carrier. Didn't know any of that stuff. They showed us that.
That's good.
But they also told us everything about natural birth.
Right.
And, well, at that time, that was great because that's what I thought I was going in for. So I was like fully into it, but not very much about the alternative or what might happen if that doesn't work out.
So do you think, therefore, you just blocked that bit out of your mind? You just thought, I'll go for the vaginal birth and... Nothing else.
I just didn't even think about it. Yeah. I was like, it's vaginal birth and it's breastfeeding and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
It would have been helpful, and I'm not knocking them at all. Like, I should have actually done my own research. You know, I could have done that. But I feel like I should have probably educated myself on all the other different ways that it can happen. And particularly now when I'm seeing girlfriends go through it, and every single one has a different birth story, as you know.
Mm.
There is no kind of standard way that it happens.
No.
So I think I probably could have researched it a bit more.
So you live in London and you chose to have your baby in London Hospital.
Yes. I suppose I was at a time where I was professionally busy, but also professionally, I suppose, successful and doing well. And wanted to think about what the options were for having the baby. And so I looked into everything.
Mm.
That was another project. There was an Excel spreadsheet around this as well, by the way.
What, all the hospitals?
All the different hospitals, yeah. And the different like options and consultants.
Wow.
I am a weirdo.
And, I love it.
And I remember saying to Rich, I think I'm going to go with the Lindo.
Mm.
And I'm going to use this one specific consultant called Mr. Fernando. And Rich was like...
It's a great name, isn't it?
He's amazing. Aww. Mr. Fernando, I still love him. And I was, Rich was like, why him? And I was like, I don't know. I really like his picture. That was it. I really liked his face. And all the... So embarrassing. Because anyone else that I had spoken to, they were like, you should use this person or this person. And everyone had kind of used someone similar.
Yeah.
But I really liked Mr. Fernando. I liked his face.
Did you tell him that's why you picked him?
I didn't. No.
You'll see a good profile picture.
I did. He just, nice, kind face.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that was it. Toddled off to see Mr. Fernando. And
how many weeks were you then?
It must have been around 12 weeks.
Okay. So from the beginning, you opted for the...
Yeah.
So the Lindo wing is the private wing, but within the NHS hospital, the Paddington.
Yeah, St Mary's.
St Mary's in Paddington.
Yeah.
Which is very well known for the royals. That's where they all have their babies.
I know.
Apart from the newest royal, he was apparently born at the Portland.
Yeah. So I looked at the Portland too.
Did you?
Yeah, I was just scared of the Portland because it's not attached to a hospital. And, you know, that didn't score well on my spreadsheet.
No. Did you, amongst your like friends, especially the ones you met through pregnancy, were they like interested that you were going privately? Like, how did it?
I mean, listen, it's not for everyone, right? And there are people who don't necessarily agree with it. I'm very much each to their own. You know, whatever your choice is your choice.
Of course.
There were definitely times where I would feel awkward about it. So people would say to me, where are you having the baby? And I would say St. Mary's because I didn't want to say, what, the Lindo?
Yeah.
And I suppose that was just... I don't know why I felt awkward about it. Maybe because I didn't want other people to make a judgment on me or about the decision I'd made.
There's enough judgment that goes on between women and mothers.
There's a lot.
So was this the same time that Catherine had George, Prince George?
K-Mids. K-Mids was at the Lindo at the same time. No, I was having scans. That was the summer.
Yes.
When she was due.
Were there paparazzi
yeah,
there?
So they were lined up. Every time Rich and I used to have a laugh when we walked in because I was like, do you think I can pass as K-Mids?
Is it that entrance you go in?
That entrance,
with the steps?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they were lined up for ages. Yeah. That was quite exciting, actually.
Yeah.
And I was absolutely addicted to Starbucks Frappuccinos with like the whipped cream on the top.
Yeah.
And I would always be walking in with one of those and Rich was like, this is, it's so uncouth.
Yeah.
And K-Mids definitely doesn't do this. No. So I was like, right, I know. You can take the girl out of Peterborough, but... Yeah.
So, I love this Excel spreadsheet. What about your hospital bag? I bet that
also,
was
that
military...
That had its own section on the spreadsheet.
Yes.
Obviously.
Took it very seriously.
Very seriously. So, the hospital bag... Actually, this was an interesting one as well, because I really researched products that I could, like, take with me. That would be helpful. So this is so sad. I mean, even when I think about it now, I had a lot of time on my hands, obviously.
Yeah, you do with your first.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, Rosie Doodah?
Huntington Whiteley.
That
yes.
one. She had done a line with Marks and Spencer's, like
you
an underwear.
Silk underwear?
No, it was, but she had like these really nice cashmere like trousers.
You know how hot hospitals are now?
Yeah, well, that I didn't really appreciate at the time. Mm. I just researched it and I thought, that looks nice. It's a poncho and an elasticated waist. Mm. That'll look nice as I sit in bed to receive my guests.
Yeah.
That didn't come.
Princess Michelle. That didn't come.
Ideas of grandeur. So I ordered this, and then a nice, feeding nightie with this dressing gown and blah, blah, blah. And you just don't use any of that stuff.
So you were getting around. When did you finish work, by the way?
I think it was about 3 weeks before I was due, and then he was late.
Right. So, I mean, I'm not down with what they do differently at the Lindo Wing. Do you have extra scans there? Do they scan you every appointment?
So you see your consultant. So as opposed to kind of seeing midwife and having midwife checkups, you see your consultant.
For every appointment.
For every appointment. And so we would go off and go and see Mr. Fernando. And ABBA plays softly as you walk in.
Does it?
No, it doesn't, no.
That would be amazing.
No, that would be good. I think I should suggest that to him. Anyway, so you go in and you see Mr. Fernando, and he just kind of checks through, like, how have you been feeling, whatever it is, and then he does do a little scan.
Yeah.
And it's usually just to check, you know about this, the fluid.
Yeah, so the amniotic fluid, which is what the baby lives in. So checking the levels, make sure that's... So babies swallow and they wee it out. It's clever, isn't it?
That is clever. So is it true that that first poop is the hair that they've eaten?
It can contain hair meconium, but...
That's so gross, isn't it?
But it can contain anything. Like,
can it?
It's like the lining of their gut, so...
Oh, okay.
The meconium, yeah, that black sticky poo.
Yeah, that's a funny one. Because Finley came out quite hairy and I felt like he hadn't really eaten enough of the hair. At that point.
Amazing.
So anyway, so they check for the fluid and he also checks for the placenta.
Yeah.
And just to check that the placenta is in good health.
And so what were you, 40 weeks now?
So it got to 40 weeks. Finn was not engaged. So he was head down.
Right.
But he was not engaged at all.
Really? Just floating around there?
Just floating around. Would not move down.
Really?
And he was big, so I think he was in the 90th percentile.
So they knew that from the scan?
They knew that from the scans. So I went and did everything I could to try and get him to be engaged. So I went and had this acupuncture.
Mm.
And at the last appointment, he was like, yeah, I'm not going to do this again. Your back is like a pincushion and it's not working. And I was like, right. And I was, that felt really brutal.
Did it?
I felt really upset. Because I really believed in it as well. I really believed it was going to work.
And when he didn't believe.
That was it. When he called time on his own practice, I was like, right, so that's not worked.
That must have been difficult.
I did all the sitting on the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Still wasn't happening. Went back to see Mr. Fernando and I think I'm 40 plus 5 at this point.
Did you feel fed up?
I was really fed up. I was super fed up.
Mm.
Because, firstly, Finn was really big, so I felt really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But secondly, in my head, I had this whole plan about how this was going to go. And the thought of him not engaging. I mean, another thing, I just thought all babies engaged. Yeah. I didn't know that it doesn't always happen.
Yeah.
So went to see Mr. Fernando and he did that scan that he does. And the placenta had lots of calcification.
Right.
Which shows white on the scan.
Yeah, so placental calcification is just when patches of the placenta start to kind of die off, basically, and it happens when the placenta is sort of getting to that stage in pregnancy, so you're obviously post your due date. And it can just mean sometimes that baby might not be getting as much of the nutrients. I mean, it's normal for placentas to start, I guess, dying out.
Aging.
Because, yeah.
Aging. I remember him using the word, your placenta is aging. And I was like,
oh gosh.
And that was quite frightening.
And he wasn't engaged.
And so we had one of those sit down discussions where he was like, we could wait a few more days.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, right. And what do you think will happen? He was like, I think probably nothing.
Did he?
I think it's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I'd like to see you again, I think on the Wednesday, and let's just see where the placenta kind of calcification levels are. And in the meantime, I was like on the curry, raspberry leaf tea, pineapple.
Did you have sex?
I had sex. Yeah. Poor Rich. That was, it wasn't
just
ideal.
The last thing you ever want.
It was not ideal for him.
No.
I felt really sorry for him. I was like, come on, this is a public service.
Yes, yes. It's funny, isn't it? It's like the most awkward shag of your life.
So awful. Oh. It's so awful. You're like shuffling as well.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. You can only really do one position, can't
I know,
you?
And he was really, God, bless him. So anyway, none of that helped. And I don't know, in my head, I felt like that might like make him engage, which it did not. No. So when I went back, Mr. Fernando wasn't really happy with the levels of calcification. I think they'd got much worse more quickly than he expected.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was like, we're going to have to do a C-section. Horror. I was so upset.
Did you think he'd say induction?
I thought I was going to go through the induction process for sure.
Yeah.
His view was, at the stage that we were at, he just didn't really want to push it. And he felt that it might end in C-section anyway.
So what were you now, a week overdue?
Week overdue, or just over a week overdue, I think.
Mm.
And Rich and I had a little chat. Yeah, I felt really upset.
Did you cry?
Yeah, there was a lot of blubbing.
Yeah.
And a bit like failing, which is so, I mean, now, by the way, when I think about it now, I laugh. I mean, what was I thinking? What's wrong?
I always say to him, you can't fail. It's still birth.
What was I thinking? Now it doesn't make any sense, but that moment.
Did you feel like you have been like robbed of experiencing childbirth?
And labour, because I wasn't going to experience labour.
People want to feel that contraction.
And I wanted just to know what that was going to be like.
Of course you did. You're a woman, and it's what we grow up thinking will happen.
Will happen. So I really wanted, I was so attached to it all. And, you know, at this point, I'd kind of been listening to like some hypnobirthing kind of. So I really felt like it was all now out of my control.
Yeah.
Which felt a bit sad. Rich was great. He was very supportive. And so that was it.
And then the next day. Oh my God, that is quite a thing to get your head around, isn't it?
It was huge for me. I was like, wow, that's it.
So you went back the next day.
In the morning.
And you obviously nil by mouth.
Nil by mouth, straight in.
So obviously the benefit of paying to have a private consultant is he was the one that did the section.
He's the one. So he comes and sees you.
Was that really nice to see him?
I mean, obviously, his little face.
Yeah.
So I get to see Mr. Fernando's face and he comes in. He's like, it's all going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, don't worry about it. Also, you know, secretly you have that night before where you're like, I think he could engage tonight.
Oh, did you? You thought he might just drop.
Maybe. No, that wasn't happening. And also, because it's not planned in the way that C-sections can be planned,
right,
there are silly things that you haven't thought of. Like, I was started to obsess. One of the nurses was like, have you got any nail varnish remover? You need to take your nail polish off. And I was like, they're gel.
Oh, no.
I can't. What should we do? And, you know, silly things.
And what did she say?
I mean, fine. She didn't. Yeah, she was like, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
So you still have a midwife in theatre when you have
a
section? Because they still do the bit with the baby.
The measuring, the weighing and all that stuff.
And you're still within, do they use the same theatres as the rest of the normal? So it's a private theatre, but still it's within
private,
the hospital.
Yeah, so it's like a private wing. And it has its own theatre. So you go down in the lift and then into the theatre. And I just remember getting into the theatre. I've never been in theatre before.
No, well, not many women have.
So you kind of go in and all I know is the anaesthetist was there and he said something about most people will feel this reaction down their left-hand side.
Did you get the electric shock?
Yeah, and I got it down my right-hand side. No. Again, panic. Like irrational panic. It's happening on my right. It's happening on my right. He was like, that's fine. You're just unusual. It's usually the left. I was like,
so
okay.
That's when they're putting the spinal in. It can just touch some nerves in your back. That's what it is, as they thread the little tube in. Previously, I don't remember anaesthetists ever telling women that they might get this electric shock, but now I hear them saying it all the time. So I guess but then some women don't feel it and probably
they have the panic too.
They panic. So I don't know if it's ever beneficial to
I mean, there's just so much going on in your head as well. And then all I remember is Rich talking to Mr. Fernando about cricket.
Rich all in his scrubs?
Yeah, in his scrubs. Did he look hot? So cute. Aww. I mean, he did look cute, but I wanted to kill him at that point.
The men love getting in those scrubs.
Fuck up about cricket. He doesn't even like cricket.
Why did they bond over cricket?
I don't know. There was obviously some kind of cricket something going on. And, you know, when you're like, I'm trying to get in the zone here.
I'm trying to, like, meet my baby.
Yeah, can you shut up about cricket?
And once they start the C-section, it's really quick, isn't it?
It's super quick, but it's very weird.
How did it feel?
Like tugging. that's the best way I can describe it. Like someone's pulling at you.
Right.
It's not painful, obviously, at that point. But it's very weird. And it's like, it doesn't feel like your body. You're kind of like looking at this curtain because they've put the curtain up.
Yeah.
And I kept looking at Rich for him to look, but obviously he doesn't want what's he going to do? Have a ganders to see
some guys do.
Yeah.
Had you already chatted about that? Like, don't look over the curtain.
I was just a bit like, can you just stay with me? Panicking.
Yeah. You need him right there.
Can you just be with me? And then the bit between the like cut and the baby coming out seems forever.
Right.
That was the weirdest bit. Like there was silence forever and I was like, what's going on? What's going on? And then it is a big tug. And then thinking,
you hear like a gush of fluid.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
As your waters go.
Yeah. That's so weird. And like some, a bit like machinery. I suppose it's the clamp or whatever it is that they're using. You can hear like metal.
Yeah.
Frightening.
Yeah. You're just trying not to imagine what it all looks like.
Or like I kept looking at Rich and then there's still a little bit more cricket chat, which I just had to like give him the death glare. That was necessary.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Was the anaesthetist chatting to you?
Not so much. The midwife was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was. And, you know, is this your first? And so she was. And then that was it. I remember him coming out and you're just desperate to hear the cry.
Of course
you are. Crying? Is he crying? Is he okay?
Did they hold him up so you could see?
Over the curtain.
Yeah.
Mr. Fernando. And that's it. I've got a picture. Richard took a picture. Mr. Fernando and Finley.
First meeting.
First meeting. So cute.
And then did he cry?
Obviously wailed. Yeah, and it was great.
And did you cry?
I was really like, and shaking.
Yeah, very shaky.
Very
shaky.
That's
a lot of the drugs that you have in your system from the epidural.
Right. Yeah. Lots and lots of shaking that I just... And you're like, you want to touch them, but also you're really...
You've got a drip in your hand.
Drip, and you can't stop moving your hands because you're really, really shaky and you're lying down. And obviously they're still at the business end.
Yeah. And how much did he weigh?
Everything. He was 9 pounds.
Oh, he was big, wasn't he?
And he was a big baby.
And he never engaged.
And he never
engaged. Did he have a big head?
He did have a big head. Very, 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 very round. Mm. But it was big. I thought everything about him looked big at that point.
Like a boy.
Big boy, big lips,
aww,
big nose, big cheeks, big. He just looked big.
But gorgeous.
So gorgeous.
What did you think when...
So gorgeous.
Did you have the rush of the love or did you just think, oh my... Because lots of people don't get it.
No, I think I looked at him and thought, he looks just like Rich. And I've carried him for 9 months.
He looks just like you though.
I know. But when he was born, the image of Rich... Dark hair.
Yeah.
His eyes were like, from what I could see of them, were very dark, like more like Rich's. His skin was obviously a bit pinky red, but also like a darker skin tone like Rich. And he just, to me, I was like, wow, imagine I've carried this little person for 9 months and you look just like Richard Tyler. Couldn't get over it.
And then did you have skin to skin in theatre?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was amazing. That was amazing. Because they do all the weighing and then they're like, gosh, he's big.
Yeah.
And then they wrap him and came over and they do a little bit of skin to skin, but as much as you can because you've got the gown on.
It's quite tricky, isn't
it? So it's only really like from like your collarbone, the couple of inches there. And then he went to Richie and that was amazing.
And did you feel at that point or even in recovery, it didn't matter how he was born, did you still feel disappointed that you didn't have a vaginal birth or feel a contraction? Like,
do you know, I don't think I felt it at that point because I was so overwhelmed by everything and just like obsessive weird details. Like I remember being in the lift on the way back up and saying to Rich, why were you talking about cricket? Weird. Don't even know why that was on my mind. And also the second question, why hasn't he got any eyelashes?
Yeah, important.
Really important. I mean, well done Michelle for really like getting
not many babies are born
in
with lashes.
So weird.
Or eyebrows.
Those were the two things. Stop talking about cricket and why hasn't the baby got any eyelashes? And kind of being wheeled into the recovery room, my mum being there.
Aww.
And my mum being like very like, is she okay? Is he okay? Is everything okay? And you know, just like very overwhelmed.
Mm.
And then I suppose it was actually, I'll tell you the moment that I suppose I felt it. When I had this expectation that the baby is born and they just go on the boob.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen always.
He didn't feed well.
He did not. And my boobs were really rock hard. Like the milk was there, but it hadn't really come in.
Right.
And again, something that I didn't know about, that your milk needs to come in, it can take a while.
Yeah, especially after a C-section.
Particularly after a C, where you haven't had labour. Like, yeah. It's all these things, and I didn't know any of that.
Yeah.
So there I am with this tiny little person, and I kept trying to put him on my boob. And genuinely, even at that age, he had fists, and I felt like he was pushing away from me.
He wasn't comfortable.
And I was so upset, because then I was like, wow, so I haven't had the birth that I thought I would, and now I can't feed. And that felt like a double failure, I think.
Yeah. And that, what was that on, like, day two?
So by day two, I couldn't, I mean, he wouldn't feed at all.
Really? Were you still in the hospital?
Yeah. I had the midwife come in, and she was helping me express the colostrum.
Yeah, the first bit of milk.
And, I mean, that's really hard as well.
Yeah.
But we got there. Actually, it was the woman who did my NCT came over to do the lactation thing. She showed me a different hold.
Oh, yeah. Like underarm.
Underarm.
Rugby ball.
Rugby ball. So much better.
Yeah.
So that helped. But ultimately, without being too graphic, I didn't have enough nipple for him to latch.
Right, yeah, yeah. Small nipples.
Small nipples. So I had to have the shields. Mm.
And then you managed to breastfeed?
And then I managed to breastfeed.
And he gained weight?
And then he gained weight. But it was a long process. And he lost a lot of weight at the start.
Did he?
Another thing they don't tell you. I did not know that.
Yeah. So on reflection about your elective C, and obviously not being advised to go vaginally, do you think there was still elements during the surgery where you owned it a bit? Do you think things like having skin to skin was like a massive fist pump of humor?
Yeah. You know, I think actually, even just going in, because you know the baby's coming, you're so excited. Yeah, I felt like I owned that moment. I was like, this is really exciting. You're sitting on the bed, and like that part was really, I did definitely feel it wasn't within my control, but you know, I was in it. I was part of it.
And getting photos.
The photos, the video, like we've
got
a video. Yeah, all of that stuff. That felt very much like, okay, it wasn't how I thought it was going to be, but now I can't imagine it any other way.
Yeah.
That was how it was.
And that was his birth.
And that was his birth, and it was amazing. And it was honestly the most amazing moment. And to be able to then go back and watch it, yeah, that was incredible. And my aging placenta. I got to see that as well.
Did they show your placenta?
They did show me it and all where the aging bit was.
And that helped you understand things?
A little bit more, like, fair enough. Mm. Like, actually, on the grand scheme of things. Because it looked a bit like a liver, I thought.
Yeah, it does look like a liver.
Yeah.
Sometimes when I talk to women about kind of their birth and reflecting on things when I'm working as a midwife, it's about kind of finding those empowering moments and, I guess, accepting, coming to terms, making peace with. And a lot of women say to me, especially sort of on reflection, say within the first year, that they just feel that that was the way their baby was always meant to be born.
Yeah, I understand that.
Do you feel like that?
Yeah, I understand that totally. I feel like at the time, would I have changed it? Yes, I would.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would I have changed it? No, not in a million years. That was like, that was our experience, and that was our moment together. And that was, you know, me and Rich becoming me, Rich and Finn. And that is our story. And I would never, ever change any moment of that. Like, all those little bits led up to the fact that I had this amazing tiny little baby that looked exactly like my husband, that felt very angry, but was beautiful. And, you know, we got to know each other, and It was amazing. I remember, like, even the drive home and, like, trying to hoosh myself out of the totally inappropriate car we had at the time, and it was very low, and, you know, you've got your stitches. But every single one of those moments was our story, and I would never change any of that.
It's really important, I think, for women to hear that as well, Michelle, because ultimately this is exactly what you said, your story of how you and Rich became a family.
It's how could it be anything better than that?
Yeah.
Like, oh yeah, okay, so I might have experienced labour and I would know what that felt like, or I might have, you know, experienced like that vaginal birth and that moment, and maybe breastfeeding would have been easier, any of those things. But equally, it could have gone in a totally different direction. Mm. I don't know. And I think that we probably put so much pressure on ourselves, particularly because we can do things like plans and what have you, that when it doesn't go right, in inverted commas, but when it doesn't go the way that we expect, we're ready to call it a failure, and it's not a failure. It's just a different way of doing it.
I think there's a lot to be said for the terminology and language we use around birth. Things like I wasn't allowed, for example, or they said I had to. And also the way that we describe birth. So like you've been saying normal, but what is a normal birth? Vaginal, you know, I think women just think, oh, I'm just going to give birth vaginally because that's what we do as women. But actually, there's often lots of factors, as per your birth story, that, you know, you had a positive elective section.
Yep.
And even the word elective section sounds so clinical, doesn't it? I've heard lots of people, especially in the US, calling it abdominal birth, which I think is a really lovely way to describe babies born by C-section.
That's a really good one.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing as well. You know, the whole kind of stigma around too posh to push and all this horrible
stuff.
And it's terrible because it really plays in your mind and you're like, oh, gosh, you know, is that the way this is going to be like perceived? Or
nothing
maybe
glamorous
I think
about
that.
Those stockings and a catheter bag hanging around your leg.
No, sir, there is nothing.
Nothing.
No.
I mean, you know, I think that came from a lot around when like Victoria Beckham had her babies, she had sections, but she would have still had a catheter and stockings and those big knickers.
And you've got to have someone help you put those stockings on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unglamorous.
You've still got big sanitary pads. You can't get like Gucci sanitary pads.
That's true. And you still, that first poop after you've had a baby is terrifying. I mean, he'll kill me for saying this, but I did make Rich come and hold my hand.
God, he's a legend.
He really is. He's
was that to get back for the cricket chat? Yeah. You chatted cricket through our son's birth.
You can stand here and hold my hand. Aww. I was just scared because you just don't know. It's actually it was actually fine, it's but fine. I was really scared.
And you're given lots of like laxatives after
section. All of that peppermint oil. That's what they brought round.
Yes,
like pure
you can
peppermint
get
oil.
Trapped wind.
That's it, and you feel like you're having a heart attack.
Did you get trapped wind up here?
God, I've forgotten about that until you said it. Yes.
Yeah, you get it all in the. People feel like they're having a heart attack all in the chest.
I thought I was having a heart attack. It was near my like arm, shoulder area, and I was buzzing. They were like, oh, it's okay. You just need some peppermint oil. Yeah.
We know all the tricks. That's my guys.
Yeah, you do.
In each episode of Birth Stories, my guests and I take a question from the listener and try to help them out. You ready, Michelle?
I'm ready.
Okay, here's this week's question. Pregnancy has exacerbated my already fairly severe lifelong issues with my body, not just how it looks, but how it works. I'm furious at my body for being so sick and unwell during pregnancy, and I'm so worried that these feelings are going to interfere with the birth. What can I do in the final months before labour to help?
Mm. That's really sad, isn't
it? That's really sad. Your body's doing something amazing.
Yeah.
Don't be upset with your body. Like, you are doing something incredible, and you know, it is no laughing matter. Like, pregnancy and birth is such an enormous, enormous feat. And I think it's not until you're really on the edges of either not being able to get there or having difficulties that you really understand how incredible your body's being. And I'm sorry that you've been so ill. That's, I mean, that is really, really brutal. And I do understand that.
We always are given this kind of, oh, you're glowing and you've got amazing... I mean, you said you had amazing hair. I had the same shiny hair, no spots. I felt my best, actually, in that trimester. But if you're really sick, it must be really hard to get your head around, try to feel positive that your baby is growing and being healthy, but actually feeling so ill.
It's really debilitating.
Really debilitating.
And, you know, you're trying to keep this little person alive whilst also, you know, trying to live some, like, semblance of normal life, and actually all you really want to do is crawl around and crawl into bed and that is really, really challenging. Pregnancy does do things to our body that you're just not prepared for. I have the most enormous varicose vein.
Do you?
Yeah, on my right leg, and from Finley, who helpfully pointed it out the other day.
Oh, did he?
Mummy, what's that? That's so gross. Aww. Oh, thanks so much, darling.
That's because of you.
That's you, but thank you. Or, you know, you're like stripy like a tiger.
Yeah,
your stretch marks.
Yeah.
I've had that one. That's a nice one. And it is hard. I'm definitely can't sit here and say, and I look at all those things and I feel like, yeah, that's just signs of what my body's been through and what an amazing job I've done. I don't always feel like that at all.
You don't have to be body positive. It's quite difficult to do it all the time.
Totally.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely, you know, don't look at it and think, yeah, but I can respect what my body's done.
So yeah, my advice would be try and focus that there's an end. The end is in sight. You know when your baby's going to be coming-ish. And you will feel better when your baby's born, especially if you're being so sick now. Once that placenta's out and the baby's out, you will hopefully marvel at your body and your baby. It'll all be worth it.
And also, you must have great boobs at the moment. We all get good boobs in pregnancy.
Good boobs.
That's the one saving grace.
Yeah. Free boob job.
Exactly.
Michelle, thank you so much for coming in and telling us your birth story. How can people find out more about you and Peanut?
Peanut. For more conversations like this, Peanut is on the App Store and Google Play Store.
And you can just download it. Is it a free app?
Free to use, free to join.
Yep. And how many women do you think you've connected now through Peanut?
The last stat that I saw actually today when I was leaving the office is something like 50 million profile views. Can't get my head around it.
Globally now?
Yeah. US, UK. US.
Amazing. So if you are a new mum or you're pregnant and you haven't quite met your gang or a friend or anything, I would really recommend Peanut because it's a really cool way to meet people, especially in today's like modern way of doing parenting, really.
Yeah, ask questions, have a chat.
Yeah, connect through whatever. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Birth Stories with me, Clemmie Hooper. Remember to subscribe on your favourite podcast app so that you can listen as soon as the podcast comes out each week. And please rate it and leave a review if you have time. You can find more birth stories on my blog, Gas and Air, and you can find me on Instagram at Mother of Daughters. Birth Stories was produced by Hannah Varrell. It was created by Offscript.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.